Great. If you've got a Bible, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to read from verse 19, but we're actually going to focus on verses 22 to 24. So Matthew 6, starting at verse 19. It's on the screen as well. And Jesus is starting off the second half of chapter 6. And he says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal." As in other words, where things get destroyed and are insecure. "But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy," or in other translations it says good, "if your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy or is not good, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters. For a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth, or God and mammon." And we'll talk about what that means later on. And God blesses the reading of his word to us. If we whack up the first screen of the PowerPoint, and then when I say the word place, you'll know what I'm talking about. There are some species of fish. Most of them, bottom dwellers, have an unusual development cycle, particularly as regards their eyes. The group includes halibuts, flounders, and those ugly-looking creatures. They might be a bit weird-looking, but they taste lovely. Anyway, they pass their early life swimming like any other fish, and then a remarkable change occurs. They turn onto their sides and swim that way the rest of their lives. Hence, they're known as flat fish. And the most astonishing aspect of this change is that the eye on the underside, if you can see it, I haven't turned this on, if the eye on the underside moves to the top of the fish's head and remains there so that it becomes visible. And so you've got the eyed side, which is that top bit that you're looking at there, and then the underside, which is known as the blind side. All that really just to say we've all got blind spots, don't we? We all have blind spots. And Jesus uses this illustration of the eye as the lamp of the body. It's the thing that brings light into the whole person. In other words, what you look at makes a difference to your life. So if you're looking at light, you're living in the light. If you're looking at darkness, then you're living in darkness. If you're looking at darkness, but you think it's light, and Jesus says, "Well, how great is the darkness?" Why? Because you've been deceived somehow. For some reason, you think what you're looking at is light, but actually it's darkness. And he says, "How great is the darkness?" And this is another illustration, as we were looking at last week, about living according to kingdom values. Living according to kingdom values. Kingdom values in this illustration are not centered on darkness, but on light. Kingdom values are not centered on self, but they're centered on God. They're not centered on wealth or mammon. They're centered on God. So he talks about that there, being God and mammon, being diametrically opposed to one another. And so just as we saw with the treasure last week, so we see with mammon this week. It's become a word associated with success, material wealth, houses, that kind of thing. And as we think about our society, we prize such things, do we not? You want to be successful. You want to have these things. And we see it on TV with different characters, and we see it on films and all kinds of things, where you've got people who are really just plowing everything into their success. And they give up time with their family, they give up their true fulfillment, etc., for the sake of success. And the saddest testimony is when you get people who have come towards the end of their lives, their working lives, and they've basically said, well, you know what, I made some mistakes and I really wish I'd spent more time with my children. Because they don't even know their children anymore. Because they spent all their time trying to be successful. And Jesus says, when that happens, it becomes idolatrous. It means that you've made your own success into an idol that you bow down to and you worship. So we all have our blind spots. And for some of us, it's our treasures, our stuff. Some of us, it's our money, and we hoard it away, like we talked about last week. For others of us, it's being successful. All of that, so that we will be significant and accepted and secure. Because if we have money, we'll have a house and we'll be secure and we'll be financially well off. If we're successful, people will want to know us. We'll be significant in the world. We'll have a name for ourselves. And that kind of thing. But the disciple of Jesus is supposed to live according to the kingdom. The values in which we base our lives are to be centered on God only and his perfect character. And so the challenge comes to us, what exactly are we basing our lives upon? Are we basing our lives on the kingdom, or are we basing our lives on ourselves? How can we then live our lives for the kingdom? How do we live according to kingdom values? How do we start that process off? And I've just got three things that I want to kind of tease out, thinking about this idea of eyes and looking and seeing the kingdom. So the first thing is, how can we live a life according to values of the kingdom? The first thing is this: pay attention to what you're looking at. Seems a really stupid thing to say, doesn't it? It's really obvious. Oh, well, obviously, if you're looking at darkness, you're going to be dark. No, pay attention to what you're looking at. A bishop of the early church, who was a remarkable example of the virtue of contentment, was asked his secret. And the venerable old man replied, "It consists in nothing more than making right use of my eyes. In whatever state I am, I first of all look up to heaven and remember that my principal business is here to get there. Then I look down upon the earth and I call to mind how small a place I'll occupy when I'm dead and buried. And then I look around the world and observe what multitudes there are, people who in many respects are more unhappy than myself. Thus I learn where true happiness is placed, where all our cares must end, and what little reason I have to complain." Now while that thing focuses on contentment, think about what he says. He says, I look. The guy was paying attention to what his eyes were focused on. He was looking at what he was looking at. He was thinking about it. And why is that so important? And if you were at New Wine last year, you will know this. Formation. One word. It's really important to pay attention to what we're focused on because of one word. Formation. Everything we look at and pay attention to plays a part in our formation, our spiritual formation. Anything that we allow to illuminate in our lives plays a part. These things help to shape us and to form us into the people that we are. So, for example, experiences we have, it changes how we respond to things, how we respond to people. TV shows we watch. Do you know, I'll give you a good example of TV shows. When I was younger, and I really am not happy about admitting this, but I used to watch a soap opera called Neighbours. For those who know Neighbours, you'll know what it's about. It's a parochial show about a small town in the middle of Australia somewhere that, you know, is very pleasant enough, but then obviously things happen. It's quite boring. I can't be bothered to watch anything like that now. But as a teenager, as a 12-year-old, a 13-year-old, I got a bit hooked on it. And there was one character on this show, and he was quite... And for some reason, I kind of picked up this guy's mentality, his way of living. And it wasn't right. Because he was quite mean and he was quite forceful and he was a bit brash and just really not nice. Not a nice character at all. And my mother, astute as she was at the time, still is astute, and she said, you know, Ian, every time you watch that show, you act like that idiot character on the show. And I that was a wake-up call to me. I still watched the show. But then my dad saw something on it and he wasn't happy. And he said, right, you're not watching it anymore. So I didn't watch it anymore. But it had an impact. It was forming me. There was an impact on me from watching that show that had an impact. It formed me. There are other things that help shape us and form us. Thoughts that we have that the enemy puts into our head. That, you know, even thoughts that we come up with aren't perhaps quite right. Conversations we can have with people. Films are a big way of forming us, because you can watch a film that's life-giving and it'll make you feel incredible. You can watch a film that's got a bunch of blood and guts and things and you make you feel horrible. You come out and you think, oh, what was that all about? Books. We read, what are we reading? Because that also has an impact on us. So in verse 22, he says, if your eye is good, so that the Greek version, the Septuagint of word for good, that's the Greek version of the Old Testament. He says, if your eye is good, then your whole body is full of light. And the word good there has the connotation of singleness of purpose or undivided loyalty. It's you are steadfast and you're like, right, this is where I'm going, I'm doing this. Singleness of purpose. And then he says your whole body is full of light. And light has the connotation of purity and revelation. Purity and revelation. So in the words of the very large-brained Don Carson, he says that Jesus is saying something like, a single eye toward the kingdom values is a person characterized by maximum understanding of divinely revealed truth and unabashedly pure behavior. It's somebody who knows Christ, somebody who has been revealed Christ, and they act like Christ, purely, unabashedly. They live that way, and they understand what is going on. All that to simply say, if we're looking at Christ, we will be formed into the likeness of Christ. Life will be full of revelation and of the truth of God, and our behavior will reflect the purity of God. So if we're not really looking at Christ, in other words, if we're looking at money, if we're looking at success, or we're looking at family, or we're looking at all these other things, all this earthly stuff, then we're not looking at Christ. We're not focused, or we think we're focused on Jesus, but we're looking at all this other stuff, but we think we're focused on Jesus. What ends up happening is we've deceived ourselves. We're thinking that we're looking at the light, but we're not. And then we're doing what Jesus says in verse 24. We're trying to serve two masters. We're trying to do one thing here and another thing here. But you can't. So if we're looking at something that's not Jesus, and we're basing our lives on all this other stuff, we're not going to turn in to little Jesuses. You know, the whole point of mission, of the mission of God, Jesus coming from heaven to earth, the whole point of that was to make us into little Jesuses. It's, as one writer calls it, the conspiracy of little Christs. That's what we're supposed to be, just like Jesus. But if we're not looking at him, how on earth can we expect to be like him? And so the challenge comes to us. What are we paying the most attention to? What are we allowing to light up our lives? Self, success, a healthy bottom line, a pension? Or are we looking at God? Are we looking at his kingdom? Are we saying, I want to live, Lord, by your kingdom values with my eyes fixed on Jesus? That's why the writer to the Hebrews says, with our eyes fixed on Jesus. Singleness of purpose. So we've got to pay attention to what we're looking at, because it makes a difference as to how we're formed as disciples. So the second thing, and this is where we've got some pictures to show on the PowerPoint. The second thing is to get perspective. Now have a look at some of these pictures. What do you think? Does that look like he's falling off a cliff? We would all agree it looks like he's falling off a cliff. If we go to the next slide, watch what happens. He's not falling off a cliff at all. He's just laying on the ground and the photographer's got a funny angle. Yeah? Next one. Oh no, she's falling off. She's going to die. Then we get the right perspective. Oh no, she's actually jumping towards him and he's laying on the floor. Do you see the difference in perspective? Next one. That's funny.
The dog's walking on top of them. What's going on there?
If we get the right perspective, we suddenly see that actually, no, that's a brick wall and they're laying on the floor. And the cameraman's just done a funny angle. And then there's a couple more, I think. There's a guy there, he's hanging on a cliff and the road's like,
what is going on there? Can you see what on earth is happening with this guy?
Well, if we turn the right perspective around, you find that actually, no, the road is quite normal. And what he's doing is he's just balancing himself with his legs
very carefully so it looks like he's sitting.
And then, I think, is there one more? How is he holding her up with one arm? That can't be possible. And then if we turn it around, no, they're both just lying on the floor.
So, the whole point of that is that if we look at with the right perspective, we can see the truth. But if we're not looking with the right perspective, we're not going to see the truth at all. It's all about the way we look at something. If we're viewing the world from a perspective of success, wealth, money, etc., we will only ever see things based on that. In other words, they're going to be the only thing that is important in our decision making and how we live our lives. Literally, if we're only basing life on self, on money, or whatever, or success, you know, God's not going to have a factor in our decision making. Our whole life will be based on how much it costs, or how much it'll make me look good, or what am I going to get out of this? And so we come to worship, for example. Well, I didn't like those songs, and I didn't like the worship leader, and I didn't like this, and I didn't like that. It didn't do anything for me. I don't like it. And I'm aware that people may be starting to feel a bit uncomfortable now because you may have had similar thoughts, or I don't like the worship leader, or I don't like that pastor, he preaches funny, or whatever. So that we come out of Sunday service and we think, well, that didn't do anything for me. Well, friends, with the best will and love in my heart towards you, it's not about you. It's not about what you feel. It's not about what you get out of it. Because if we're basing it on what the worship did for me, we're not actually thinking about God at all. We're only ever thinking about self. We haven't thought about what God thinks. Maybe it's that, okay, maybe one day we have a more reflective service and we use maybe Taizé chants or something. And you think, well, I don't really like that. That might not have been for you, but because there might be other people that really respond to that. And what was God doing that? So instead of blessing what God's doing, we just think, oh, well, that didn't do anything for me. I use that as a simple example. And it goes right the way through life. However, if we're looking from the perspective of truth, of kingdom values, we'll evaluate things and make decisions based on what God thinks. And the fact is, okay, if I didn't like the worship, but was God honoured? Now, if God wasn't honoured, then we need to have a conversation. But if God was honoured, then we need to think about actually my response to that. And if we're evaluating things based on what God thinks, we will be more concerned with what God is concerned with justice, mercy, with love and compassion. Our actions will reflect it. But we have to get perspective first. In other words, what we have to do is learn the truth of God's kingdom for our lives. Learn who we are in Christ. Learn how God sees the world through the eyes of love and compassion. Get a sense of his hatred for injustice and exploitation. Learn what it means to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with our God. Learn what it means to be poor in spirit, meek, hungry and thirsty for righteousness, merciful, pure in heart, a peacemaker. And learn what it means to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. Because as we talked about when we did the Beatitudes, these are the characteristics of a true believer. These are what we are supposed to be like. And so the challenge comes to us, from what perspective are we viewing our lives? Are we doing it from success, from self, from work, from family? Or are we living life based on kingdom values, from the truth of who we are in Christ and who Christ is? Because how we do makes a difference to how we'll live. Get perspective. We need to get perspective. And the third and final thing I want to talk about on how we live according to kingdom values. And again, you'll probably think, oh, this is really obvious, and I'm sure you've said this before, Ian. Sure I have. Choose whom you'll serve. Jesus says in verse 24, you cannot serve God and mammon. You can't attempt to serve God and success and family and money or whatever, or self. We've got to live by kingdom values. And it's amazing how we all, at times, have attempted to live according to both values. So, the classic is, well, you know, Sunday, and in the mid, Sunday morning, and then the midweek Bible study, that's when I'm living for God. Yes. And then the rest of the week, I'm just going to live for me, because I'm making money for me. And then, or another way is, well, you know, sometimes I pay attention to what God says, but I don't really do it all the time, because who's got time for that? And we deceive ourselves thinking that somehow we can serve God and serve all this other stuff as well. Or the worst one is this, where we pay lip service to God. We might even pray every day and we pay lip service, but our attitude doesn't change. Our heart doesn't change towards other people. We still are self-centered. We have no fruit of the Spirit living in our lives. But we pay lip service to God. Oh, but I'm a Christian. That's the most destructive, in fact, where we think we're being a Christian, but in actual fact, nothing has changed on the inside at all. We're still the same way we've always been, and we live. But it's because we're trying to serve two masters. And Jesus says, like a slave cannot, that's the language he's using here, he cannot do two things at once. It doesn't work. You can't serve God and then serve yourself. You're either serving God or you're serving yourself, one or t'other. We have to choose then who it is we're going to be serving. Joshua says to the Israelites just before he dies, and he gives them a speech at the end of his book, and he gives them this challenge. It's a few little words. Choose this day whom you will serve. Joshua 24, verse 15. Choose this day whom you'll serve. Here's a little story. At Noyon, there were born in a family two brothers, John and Charles. John, from his earliest days, was studious, thoughtful, and reverent. At the early age of 27, he wrote one of the world's greatest books, The Institutes of the Christian Religion. And when he died at Geneva in 1564, he bequeathed to the world the great principles of democracy and religious freedom. The other brother, Charles, pursued a course of extravagance and dissipation. He lived a life as worthless and as infamous as his brother's life was noble and glorious. How do you explain the difference between those men? Not in heredity, not in environment. It was the same home, it was the same early influences. The difference is to be explained in choice. In choice. Following the life of Christ means that we've got to make a conscious decision every day to live according to kingdom values. It's got to happen every day. Jesus says it to his disciples, doesn't he? His charge to them in Luke 9:23. If anyone to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. Choosing Jesus requires a humility from us. It requires a dying to selfish wants and desires, and making a decision to follow him. And by the way, the not making of a decision is a decision not to decide. It's still a decision. So if we don't make a decision, we're deciding not to be bothered with it, basically. And the challenge comes to us then, have we made a decision, even today, to follow in kingdom values in our lives? Do we make that decision every day, or do we try and do it in our own strength? Do we try and live according to our own values? So there's the three things. Disciples are living according to kingdom values. Disciples are formed by what they look at and pay attention to. Are we paying attention to Christ and his kingdom values? There are different other ways of viewing the world, different perspective. We know the truth, and the truth is what sets us free. What's our perspective? Are we seeing everything from the perspective of self or whatever the thing is we're focused on? Or are we focused on seeing things from the perspective of truth?
And then finally, Jesus gives us that challenge. We can't serve God and all this other stuff. Who are we choosing to serve every day? Let's spend a moment in quiet and allow the Lord to speak to you. Allow the Lord to highlight one thing, because there's a lot in there, and it will go up on the website, but there's a lot in there. Maybe just one thing the Lord wants you to think about this morning. What's God saying? And then there's that other discipleship question, which is really awkward and none of us like talking about. What am I going to do about it? What's God saying, and what am I going to do about it? Father, by your Spirit, come. Come and reveal whose we are. Come and reveal the truth. Come and shine that light into our lives. Let us see you with eyes that are healthy and good. Eyes that are looking with singleness of purpose. Lord. Heavenly Father, we confess. And I confess. There are times in my life when I have believed wrongly. I have sinned. When I've said that, you know what, Lord, I'm the most important one in this place, in my life. And I've forgotten that you are the great God. I've forgotten that you're the one who created the stars, those massive stars. I've forgotten that you're the one who's in charge. And I've sought to take control. Lord, I confess there are times when I've lived my life according to self. And Lord, right now we take a moment just to apologize and say, Lord, we're sorry for those times. And for those of us that feel able to, we want to take a step towards you and say, Lord, will you be the one who is in charge for me today? Today we make a decision. I will choose to follow Jesus. I will choose to live in his kingdom values. We make a decision. And for others of us, we've just been looking at things from a weird angle. Lord, where we need to have our camera angle and perspective shifted to be from the angle of truth. Lord, will you reveal your truth to us afresh, we pray. And Lord, for those of us, I count myself in this camp, we're not paying attention to what we're looking at. We're just watching all kinds of things on telly. We're just watching all kinds of movies, and we don't care about the swearing. We don't care about the violence. And we just watch it all because it makes good telly. And you know, our lives are so boring. We just got to have something to fill it up. Lord, will you convict us where we need to be convicted? And will you help us to pay attention to what we're looking at? We're sorry if we looked at things that aren't right, that have skewed our perspective of reality and have formed us into being people that are not like Christ. Lord, help us to look at Jesus, to see his life and to imitate that life. Lord, we bless you. We thank you that you love us and that you've not left us bereft. We're not orphaned, but we have your Spirit to lead us into all righteousness. So as you taught us to pray, lead us, Lord, not into temptation, but into righteousness. Lead us in these things, Holy Spirit. Will you take us and form us to be the people that you want us to be? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.